Right now it is time for Dr. Judy Werpman and Food for Mood. Judy is the co-author of the Serotonin Power Diet, serotoninpowerdiet.com. Also, Simon Loses His Tummy, and also Before Her Voice Was Still. And we have her join us every Thursday morning. Good morning, Dr. Werpman.
Good morning to you. And it's sort of a gloomy morning here. I wonder if it's the same with you.
Yes, yes. Gloomy.
It's raining,
gloomy.
Pouring.
Gloomy.
Yeah, oh well. Anyway, just talking to you is a bit of sunshine. So,
likewise.
I sent you a fun topic today, Jill and Marshall, and you probably can relate to it. And it really is about whether you should, if you're planning going on a diet, buy a dog or get a dog from a shelter or borrow somebody's dog. Because, you know, is it possible that owning a dog would actually potentiate and support your weight loss? And this really came to mind when I was taking my own rather incorrigible older puppy to a good manners behavior class. Hasn't really worked yet. Doesn't learn how to eat with a fork or knife yet. Anyway, a good manners dog class, and this is in an urban area, the city of Boston. And the trainer happened to mention that when she teaches this class out in the suburbs, the first thing she has to do is to teach the owners how to walk the dog on a leash. Well, you don't have to do that in the city because otherwise you won't have a dog for very long. And, you know, we all sort of looked at her very puzzled, and then it occurred to me, you know, I wonder if where you live and whether you walk your dog on a leash or whether you just throw it out into the backyard and say, go play, really might have an impact on your exercise level. And lo and behold, there actually are studies that in this country and in Scandinavia and other places that show quite significant benefits to having a dog, to walking the dog, and its impact on the number of hours per week you might spend in physical activity. And indeed, one study also showed that having a dog and playing with the dog and walking the dog improves not just your level of physical activity, but you actually sleep better, your mood is better, you may even have a healthy diet. Maybe that's because, you know, you're feeding your dog healthy foods and you say, well, how can I feed my dog, good food, and I'm sitting making me a lot of potato chips. Of course, that on the other hand, and there always is an other hand, there's been a lot of studies showing that if you are overweight and obese already and you get a dog, that the dog has a significant probability of becoming overweight and obese itself. And one study, I think, came from Denmark, showed that people who are obese tend to have fat dogs, and that's because they tend to feed their dogs yummy snacks. Well, they themselves are eating yummy snacks, maybe not the same snack, or maybe something it is, like cheese. And so they both are sort of sitting on a sofa, you know, watching reruns or something, rather than going for a walk and eating, you know, high-calorie snacks. And it was really significant, the relationship. So, you know, it's not foolproof that if you wanted to lose weight and you get a dog, that you absolutely will. But, you know, in thinking about it, it occurred to me that, you know, having a dog might actually have an impact on your ability to lose weight. There's nothing to do with physical activity, although that is obviously an element. Because when you have a dog, it's very hard to be by yourself. You know, you when you go walking with the dog, you meet other people. You meet other people with dogs or people who think that your dog is adorable and stop to talk to you or ask you where you got your dog, or you just heard my dog. And the impact may be really to lessen the social isolation that drives a lot of people to overeating. And also, it gives you a chance to even, you know, talk to somebody. You're talking to your dog, but nobody will think you're crazy because you're supposed to talk to your dog. And, you know, if you come home after a hard day at work or having problems with, you know, your family, with your coworkers, whatever, you know, with life in general, and you take your dog out for a walk, you really have a chance to sort of ventilate, to express your feelings in a way that's obviously not going to hurt anybody because it's a dog, and the dog is not going to respond by saying, well, you're really crazy to talk to me about this. And it really might help you relax and help you get out of your system those things that cause you to be upset and may cause you to go home and engage in emotional overeating. So I think, you know, all said that if you can and you want to have a dog and you're planning to lose weight, that basically it's a major benefit.
Well, that sounds very conclusive and scientific. Can we just take a quick break back, though, to how, and this is something that needs a little bit of wiring. If you if you are trying to lose weight and you get a dog, do you have advice for not making the dog as big as you are?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, first of all, you know, when you get, you know, a dog, you're usually given more advice than you really need about what you should be feeding the dog. And, you know, if you really are concerned, you know, that your dog stay healthy, and you obviously want your dog to stay healthy and live a long life, then you have to be very careful about not feeding the dog snacks that are high in calories, and or sharing table food. Although, you know, some dogs can be very persistent in making you want to do it, just so the dog.
Because you know, I've known people.
Dinner and peach.
I've known people, and I'm thinking of my dear father. Never mind. Who would just actively do the food stealing he usually did for himself? He'd just do it for the dog, and which always reminded me of the Christopher Rock, the A.A. Milne poem Binker. You know, about Christopher Robin had to eat the chocolate for Binker because his teeth were rather new. You know, so.
No, I mean, one of the things that I, you know, I'm going through again with this class, which my dog is not exactly, you know, getting an A plus in, you know, is that you're supposed to reward the dog with what they call high preference snacks. And
ooh, high preference, is it called?
And, you know, and these, you wonder whether the dog really is going to become, you know, addicted to things like cheese and hot dogs. These are snacks that are recommended because apparently dogs adore them. You think, really, do I want to feed my dog hot dogs? You know, do I really want to feed my dog cheese?
No.
And yet, you know, you know that if you give your dog these snacks, the dog might actually sit or stand or come when you call it. So I think you might actually get into a bad habit. I would just sort of say that if you give the dog these really yummy snacks and the dog is trained, maybe eventually you can stop giving the snacks and the dog won't gain weight.
P.S., by the way, it doesn't work that way, but I'm really interested in whoever is, we're going to have to wrap up, but I'm really interested in whoever's telling you to give the dog hot dogs. So.
Oh, at least a half a dozen trainers.
Yeah, I would just personally revoke their licenses and say, or you come live with the dog. Yeah, I mean, fine. Yeah. Do you know, for 9,000 years, I have had golden retrievers, and I will just say, chicken, chicken, chicken.
Yes, and frankly, I think it's better to have, you know, if your dog is healthy, try some other ways of getting your dog to be obedient than feeding the dog foods that really are really bad for it. High preservatives, high fat, no nutritional value. Now, if I'm only going to get my dog to eat carrots, that would solve the whole problem.
No, yeah. Right? Good luck with that. Thank you very much.
Right.
Dr. Judy Wertman.
I'll tell you what happens next week.
Perfect. Food for mood.
And you can hear Judy, of course, every Thursday morning here on Robin Hood Radio and also on demand, robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand. Click on Food for Mood with Dr. Judy Wertman.